Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And the title of my message, The Message of the Lord, is not my message, it's the Word of God. But what the message the Lord has given me to share with you today is entitled, Take No Thought. Take No Thought. We're going to walk through the scripture in Matthew chapter 6 in a moment and exegete the scripture and allow the Lord to speak to us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and be ready as we get into that in just a moment. I'm going to pastorally address some things that the Lord has put upon my heart. And also prophetically address some things. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of concerns that are going on in the hearts of people that during this time of and this season of shelter in. Now, I want you to understand something. It's only a season. Seasons change. God is bigger than all of this. And this stuff is going to shift. It's going to make a supernatural shift. In fact, there are a lot of things supernaturally, spiritually, the pouring out of God's Spirit going on in the world today in the middle of this shelter in. There's revival going on around the world. The harvest of God is bringing people to Himself. And I don't expect the harvest of God to end. I expect the move of the Holy Spirit to continue. Even though we are live streaming to you and this is not pre-recorded, this is live under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know God's going to continue to work the work that He's been working, all right, in your life, in my life. He's going to continue to work that even after a shelter in. Directive comes to an end. God's going to even work greater and mightier. Because in this time, we've had the opportunity, all of us, to change a lot of our disciplines and to change a lot of our priorities and make sure we spend more time with the Lord than we do with anything else. God's really doing a mighty work. But let's look at some of the questions And I want to go to the Word of God and answer some things, because still in the minds of some people is what's happening, what in the world is going on. In fact, some are asking the question, and I've been posed these questions, and that is, what's going to happen daily? What's going to happen to me tomorrow? What's going to happen to my family? Questions are being asked like, how will I take care of my family? That's a big stress and a big pressure upon parents or even single parents and single employed people. How will I take care of my family? Another question that I hear from people is, what is the economy going to be like in months to come? What's going to happen to our economy? How's it going to come back together? Well, first of all, I want to tell you something. God knows everything that's going on. All right? Because I've been asked the question, where is God in all this? Where is He in all this? Well, Isaiah 41 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you, I'll lift you with my righteous right hand." The biggest question that I'm hearing and being posed with is, what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? I don't know what's going on tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow brings. There's some routine that we're aware of, but we're not sure. We're thinking about many thoughts in the natural of tomorrow. Can I just say something to you? Everyone is facing tomorrow. We're all facing tomorrow. There's an old song that says, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. And I can praise him and worship him. Yeah, I forgot. I don't know the rest of that line. But anyway, we're facing tomorrow. Everybody's facing tomorrow. Everybody has thoughts regarding tomorrow. What does tomorrow hold? Let me define tomorrow for you, okay? Because tomorrow means the day after today. Oh, that was awesome. Tomorrow's the day after today. I know you didn't know that, Randy. But today, tomorrow's the day after today. Or in other words, it is an indecisive future time. Or an indefinite future time, tomorrow. So for tomorrow for you might be actually Monday morning. Tomorrow for someone else might be next month, next year. Tomorrow for somebody else might be their eternity, their tomorrow. Matthew 6:34. Turn your Bibles, open them to Matthew 6:34. And here's what the Word of God says. It says, take no thought. Now, I'm reading out of the original King James Version. And I'm going to explain some things to you in just a moment in regard to that. Your version may say, do not worry about tomorrow. But I'm going to use this phrase in the original King James because it has a stronger definition when he says, take no thought about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do you realize with me? Write this down. Jot these notes down. Tomorrow will reveal what you have prayed for today. Tomorrow will reveal what you have prayed for or what you have prayed into today. Because what you are praying into today, and I know you've been praying more than you've ever been praying. You've been praying with your family more than you've ever been praying. Worshiping together. And your tomorrow is going to reveal what you have prayed for or prayed into today. That's why, see, God knows the future. He knows his plans for you. He knows his purpose for you. And I've got great news. Despite what's going on in the natural, his plans and purposes have not changed. Tomorrow will reveal what we have been praying into. Well, I want my tomorrow to reveal what I've been praying into today, which means my tomorrow will have answers for me that I don't have today. My tomorrow is going to have answers for me that I've been questioning or you've been questioning today. Your tomorrow is going to have an answer in relationship to what you're considering or thinking about. Your tomorrow. He said, take no thought about tomorrow. Even if the season is difficult tomorrow or you're still uncertain in the natural, God is still working in the supernatural to fulfill his purpose in the kingdom of God. He's still at work. Hallelujah. Now, to some, it seems like a trial of their faith. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. And let's talk about this trial, a trial of faith. Because this season that we're walking through is definitely a season of trial. Did God send the trial? Absolutely not. God didn't send the trial. It's the enemy that comes. Satan comes. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that I may give you life and that life more abundantly. Abundantly is one of those words that has future to it. In other words, abundantly blessed in our past, abundantly blessed in our present, and abundantly blessed in our future. It is an ongoing thing in relationship with God because abundance carries eternity with it. But now watch this. In 1 Peter 4:12, Peter said, "Beloved, do not think it strange." Now, watch this. "Take no thought." So don't think it strange that concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as some strange thing has happened to you. Now, I want you to understand something, because though this may feel like a fiery trial, and we know God hasn't brought it, and we think, well, I've never been in a trial like this one. Nobody on the face of the globe has been in a trial like this one. So we're not alone. We're in this together in the body of Christ, all right? But watch. It's a trial of fire, the trias. Verse 13 goes on to say, "But rejoice." Rejoice. Rejoice means to praise God and spin around like a top and dance before the Lord. Rejoice. "To the extent that you are partaking of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Now, watch this. He says, "Think it not strange." Now, if the Bible tells us and challenges us to take no thought, I want you to catch this word. The word "think" in the Greek here, it means to seem truthful or to seem uncertain. So it carries a thinking that makes a choice to believe or not to believe. A choice to have faith or a choice to walk in unbelief. It carries with it a choice. This word "think" has to do with overthinking in our thoughts. That's where a lot of our questions come from. That's where a lot of our concerns. We overthink things. We try to, as we think about it, the devil gets his two cents into our mind, and he tries to make a little thing, a little problem, bigger. And we overthink that, and then that thing becomes bigger than our faith. And if it does, we're going to get in trouble. But now watch. It also means to suppose, which means to assume. In other words, it's an assumption. In other words, there's no truth behind it. We just assume something. The devil wants you in this season to assume the worst. So that when a trial comes against you, he wants you to think it's your fault. You're the one that brought it on. You're going to fail. You're not going to make it. I got good news for you. Listen, the Bible says when the enemy shall come in like a flood, or when the enemy comes in the Hebrew is the variation, and then the pause, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. But now watch this, all right? To think. It also means to be accounted or consider. So it all has to do with our thought processes. The bottom line in our thought processes in a trial of faith is, who will we trust in the middle of the trial? Who are we going to believe in the middle of what's going on? Because things are going to happen. Listen, in the middle of it, the glory of God is going to be released. The power of the Spirit's going to be released. But the devil wants you to think in the middle of it, to trip you up, to get you to fall. The bottom line is, who are we going to trust? In 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9, the Bible says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." I'll tell you, this shelter in for a month, little over a month, seems like a grievous trial. Grievous trial. And coming out of it is going to seem grievous when the economy's trying to come back and so forth. But now listen, verse 7 goes on to say that the genuineness of your faith, the genuineness of your faith, who are you really trusting in? Are you trusting in God? Is your faith genuine or is it just verbal? Is your faith just something that you say, or is faith the religion that you have, or is faith a trust that you have in Almighty God, so that no matter what happens in this world, we will not be rocked and shaken, we will remain steadfast and sure, because our faith is in the Almighty God who does not fail. Hallelujah. Amen. Now watch, that the genuineness of your faith, verse 7, being much more precious than gold that perishes. I tell you, God's concerned about our faith. He's concerned about the refining of our faith. So when we are tried, our faith is more precious than gold that's tried in a fire. It's more precious than the refining process of gold. Though it may be tested by fire, it may be found to praise, somebody shout praise, and honor and glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, that our faith. So it's important during this season that we're not concerned about tomorrow, but we're concerned about Jesus in us today, alive in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he goes on to say, verse 8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, that's faith, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Where does that come from? Comes out of that relationship of faith with the Lord. Verse 9 says then, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The end of my trust, the end of your trust and assurance and confidence in God that cannot be shaken, the end of that faith is the eternal salvation of your soul. Hallelujah. We are living in a season of time that is pointing directly to the rapture of the church, when the trumpet of the Lord will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet them in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. That is the season we're in. Hallelujah. We're in that season. The end of our faith is coming. The end of our faith is at hand. But now, let me teach you something very powerful. Back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. And I want to talk to you again about this thought, this phrase of take no thought. So Matthew 6, 25, the Bible says, therefore I say to you, take no thought. Your version may say, do not worry. But the key here is, take no thought, do not worry about your life. Now, this is a powerful challenge. What are you concerned for in your life? What are you overly concerned for? What are you overthinking about your life, about your family, about what's going to happen tomorrow? Now, I want you to see this phrase, take no thought, because in the original Greek, it is a stronger translation than that of do not worry. It carries with it, see, do not worry is a softer explanation that has more to do with the emotions of man, whereas take no thought has to do with the mind of man, where the enemy first attacks. It's in our thought. It's in our thought processes. So let's define the difference a little bit, and both of them apply. Worry means to be anxious, to be annoyed, to be uneasy. It is to feel troubled. In fact, it is, the Greek says it this way, a continual biting and tearing like a dog chewing a shoe. A biting and a tearing. That's what worry does. Just to our emotions, tears us to pieces. But to take no thought in the Word of God means this. We're going to define these individually, separately, and then put them together. But watch this, all right? Take means to get possession of, sometimes by force. To take means to capture an opponent, all right? It means to effect an attack or to take. All right? It's like two dogs. My youngest son and his wife just got another puppy. That makes two dogs in the house. They get along somewhat till it comes to food. And then they start biting each other, attacking each other, affecting an attack to keep the other one away from the food. With the growl, the bark, whatever it is. All right? To take, now stay with me. To take means to acquire or to assume or to have access. So the thought is this, that when we take something, all right, it becomes something we possess. If I pick up my cell phone and I take this cell phone and I put it in my pocket and I walk away with it, I have taken that to my possession. Now, I already purchased it. I already know it belongs to me. But what if it was another cell phone? What if it was Joshua's cell phone because he's got the latest and greatest? And I was to take his, take that, take possession of it. I'm pretty sure he would resist that. All right? But now watch, to take, to capture it. Now, the next thing I want you to see is take no thought. No thought. So the word no means no. Actually, there is a definition. It actually means not in any degree. All right? It means nay, nay, not so. Take no. But it also means to deny. In other words, to declare to be untrue or to don't accept or don't recognize. That's no. Don't take. All right? It says also no means to refuse. It's to decline, to accept, or to agree, or to reject. So when the Bible says take no thought, he's saying deny and refuse everything that would be against God. Now watch this. The word thought is the meraminao in the Greek. And it means this. It means a care or to look out for something. It means to promote one's interest about something. It also means the act or the process of reflection or meditation or thinking. And the Bible tells us we're to meditate upon the things of God. David said, "Let my meditation unto you, O God, be acceptable." So watch this. The thought also means the power of reasoning or the mind, the intellect, the imagination. A thought is the result of thinking something and it becomes an idea or a concept. Or another thought is, part definition is, opinions relevant to a given time or a season. Now I want you to see this. Because the Bible's saying, God's saying, Jesus said in his words, take no thought. He said, don't possess anything, but deny any thought that is not the thoughts of God. Deny it. Refuse it. Don't give it any power. Don't give opinions prevalent to a given time or a season any thought. Now listen, we're living in a time where there are a lot of thoughts, there are a lot of prevalent thoughts, there are a lot of prevalent opinions that are being given, even from the government and the medical society on down, that aren't all jiving together. There's a myriad of things that are going on. There are thoughts that are prevalent to a given season. Just like there are thoughts that are prevalent to a season of revival and a season of the pouring out of the Spirit of God. There are thoughts of God that are prevalent to that. There is faith, there's anointing, there is glory, there's victory, there's miracles, there's healing, there's salvation to that season. But now listen, in this natural season, the Bible says, take no thought. Say that with me. Take no thought. In other words, resist it and refuse it. Don't take the thought that possesses cares of this world. Don't take the thought that acquires opinions of somebody else. Don't take that thought. He said, don't take the thought that denies the truth of God. Don't take that thought. Don't take the thought. Refuse the trouble. Decline the thought. Don't accept it in any way when it comes from the enemy. Take no thought. So therefore, we don't have to worry about our life. There's no reason to be concerned about our life. We are in the hands of God. Now, write this down. This is very powerful. Because thoughts, now remember, we talked about tomorrow will reveal what you have prayed for or prayed into today. But thoughts will determine your tomorrow from your today. Thoughts will determine your tomorrow from your today. Now watch this. If you sow a thought, if you sow thinking, if you listen to what the devil's saying, if you listen to what the world is saying, and that stays in your mind, every thought will reap something. So if you sow a thought, you reap an act. So if you sow a thought of anger, you will reap the thought, or you reap the act of anger. And sometimes you don't even know why. You know what? There are a lot of people in our world right now who are angry. They are angry because of the shelter in. They are angry because of the economy. They are angry because they lost their job. They are angry. And they've sowed that thought long enough that they are now beginning to reap an act. And without even realizing it, in that act of anger, they're carrying it forth out on other people, not intentionally, but not realizing that they sowed enough thought of anger in this world that now it's coming out in their actions. Now watch this. Then the Bible says, or then the sowing principle teaches us this. Then if you sow an act, and you do that again and again and again, you reap a habit. So, if you sow a thought, you reap an act. If you sow that act continually, you will reap a habit until all of a sudden you're doing this thing without even realizing what you are doing. Now, it's good if it's a positive thing. It's good if it's a biblical thing. It's great if we are sowing the thoughts of God. It's awesome. But if we're sowing the thoughts of what about tomorrow? What's going on? What's going to happen to me? Pretty soon you're going to start getting disappointed because you don't see any answers in the natural. Okay? But if you sow an act, you reap a habit. Now, in that habit that you start doing over and over again, if you sow that habit, you will reap your destiny. You reap your destiny. So here's the power of it. See, a habit will move you in a certain direction, and pretty soon that habit is hard to break. And if that habit is against the things of God, if that thought is against the things of the Word, if that thought is worry, your worry will reap you a destiny of fear and anxiety and hopelessness. But watch this. If you sow the Word, if you sow the truth, if you sow, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you sow, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. If you will sow, the Lord is with me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. If you sow the thought, God doesn't cause me to fear, but the Lord is the one who brings me peace and joy. If you'll sow the thought of the Word of the Lord, sow the thought of God, you will reap an act. You'll reap the act of love. You'll reap the act of faith. You'll reap the act of confidence in God. Your mouth will start following up what you're believing in your mind. Come on, somebody. And start speaking. That act that you sow then will reap a habit. You get into that a discipline, it would be spiritually, you reap a discipline in the Spirit of God because we're disciples, and you sow that discipline, you reap your destiny. That destiny is your future. Now watch this. This is very important. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, we can look at this two ways. As a man thinks in his heart, that's the emotional side of worry. But as a man thinks in his mind, in his heart, so is he. So you see, our mind, our will, and our emotions, our soulish man, very important to bring them to subjection to the Spirit of God. This is powerful teaching. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the word thinks, again, in the Hebrew, is the word shastah. And it means this. It means to split open or to assess. There are things that come to our mind that we need to make sure we assess them before we let them log into our thinking processes. That's why the Bible says, check out the Word. Try the spirits. Don't believe every spirit, the Bible says. You've got to assess it. You've got to split it open. If it's God, you take it. If it isn't God, you cast it down in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right? As a man thinks, reasons out, calculates, reckons, all right, in his heart, that's what he is. So if we've got our mind set on the things of the Spirit of God, and God is working in us, and we're not taking the thought of the world, we're taking the thought of God, then we're going to be blessed in what we do. Now, go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 again. Let's look at the rest of this chapter. All right? Jesus said, take no thought for your life. The life he's talking about here is the psuche. It's the mortal soul, the eternal being, but it has to do with rational living and spiritual life. Spiritual life always is more important than rational living. We need to use our rational minds. We need to use wisdom in this world. But at the same time, there is spiritual life that is power. He said, take no thought for your life in the natural, because you've got a life in the supernatural that is going to supersede your life in the natural. Hallelujah. Don't take any thought for your life. Don't worry about that. Don't take the negative. Refuse it. Deny the negative stuff for your life in the natural, because you already overcome that in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Amen. Guys in the sound booth are clapping up there, making a lot of noise. Hallelujah. But watch this. He said, take no thought for your life, what you will eat. That's sustenance. Or what you will drink. That's talking about refreshment. All right? Refreshing. It's not talking about alcohol. Not talking about those things. It's just talking about the need of our body. You know, I don't want you going to somebody and say, Pastor said today we're not to worry about eating and worry about what we drink. We can go ahead and go drinking. That's not what I said. But our world says that. Then he said, nor about your body. Don't take any thought about your body, what you will wear, or your provisions. In other words, don't worry. Where am I going to get clothes tomorrow? The mall is closed. And all the husbands are shouting hallelujah for that. But the wives are going, but I need my mall. I gotta have my shopping. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead and elbow somebody in your house and razz them a little bit. Point the finger if you want to, because you got more pointing back at you. All right. But he says, or what you should wear. And then Jesus said, is not spiritual life more than food, and the body more than clothes? And when he talks about the body, he's talking about the body as the temple of the living God. Isn't your temple more important than the natural stuff? Isn't your spiritual life with God more important than the natural things? That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't take the thought, All right, for your life, for your natural or for your eternal. You hang on with the Spirit of God for the spiritual things of life. Verse 26, he said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And I love this next statement. Are you not of more value than they? Take no thought of all this stuff in the world. Because you see, God says you're more value to him than anything that's going on in this world. And that God is going to take care of you and he's going to minister to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 27 goes on to say this. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? I mean, just worrying about the things of the world isn't going to make you grow. In fact, spiritually, you won't grow. It'll actually defeat you. But watch, verse 28. So why do you take thought about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Verse 28, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon was the most wealthy on the face of the earth, partly because of wisdom, and the other side was because God blessed Solomon. God blessed him. He was arrayed. I mean, he had anything he wanted, friend, anywhere in the world that he wanted to have. And God says, Jesus said, but he is not even arrayed. He doesn't even compare to one of these little ones, the birds of the air and so forth. Verse 38, now watch this, or 29. Verse 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Now look at we're back to our tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't take thought about tomorrow. You don't have to be concerned about tomorrow, all right? All right? It's going to be thrown into the oven. But God said, verse 30, will he, God, not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or drink or what shall we wear? Verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows. Somebody say, my heavenly Father knows. My heavenly Father knows that I have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. You know what seek first is? Seek first is to take the thought of God, take the promises of God, take the commands of God, the precepts of God, take the prophetic declarations of the Word of God, take the covenant of the Word of God. And he said, if you'll stand on the covenant, if you'll trust God in everything, if you'll lean to him and not your own understanding, he'll meet your need. He'll guide your path. He'll direct your way. He'll provide for you in every way necessary. He will make it something additional to you already in your spiritual life because of the anointing of God that's up on you. Hallelujah. Take no thought. Then verse 34 says, take no thought about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. He'll worry about itself. See, God wants us to think mature thoughts. That's the Word of God. He wants us to think God's thoughts, what he says. He wants us to think faith thoughts. We'll deal with that at another time. I want you to know something today. The Spirit of the Lord, his challenge to you today is don't take any thought. Refuse the negative things that are going on. Refuse the opinion of man. And take the word of God to yourself. I want you to close your eyes with me right in your home right now. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts and your ways are higher than our ways. Father, right now, we, as the family of God, deny the thoughts of the enemy. We deny them. We refuse them in Jesus' name. We will not allow them, Father, to come into our thought processes. We declare that the Word of God is greater than all of the thoughts in this world. And that, Lord, you are the one holding our tomorrow. We don't have to be concerned about our life tomorrow, because you said you'd take care of us. I got that, Lord, in my spirit. I got that revelation this morning, Father. You will take care of us. I want to ask you this morning, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you, because today you can receive Him. I'm going to pray, and you just pray what I pray, and the Spirit of the Lord will come into your life. And you invite Him in right now. Heavenly Father, there are people right now who are inviting Jesus Christ into their life, giving their lives to you. You are the only sure thing. You are the only sure one. And Father, upon the authority of your word, we invite you to be our Lord and Savior. We give our lives to you. We yield. We trust you. Father, for those that have been wandering away from God, and this season is just tearing their life apart, Father, in the name of Jesus, draw them back to you by the power of your love and your glory and your grace. I thank you, mighty Jesus, for your divine hand, for your divine power upon them in the mighty name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you to receive Jesus or to give your life back to Him, go to our website and let us know. There's a card on there that you can fill out. It says, "Today I received Jesus." Just fill it out and let us know so that we can rejoice with you. And then I'll get some materials into your hand to help you follow Jesus. And I'll mail it out to you, and so that you can serve Him in spirit and in truth. And don't take the thoughts of the world. Don't take the thoughts of the enemy. Keep the thoughts of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you.